This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and next Wednesday is Valentine's Day, a time when love and romance come into focus. One of the time-honored ways of celebrating those feelings is through poetry. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? And so on. My next guest has been writing poetry for decades. Her name is Christine Swanberg. Back in 2020, she was inaugurated for a two-year term as Rockford's first poet laureate. Tomorrow afternoon, on Saturday, she'll be part of an event called Verses in Valentines, Music and Poetry of Love, performing with the local duo that goes as Trinidora. To talk more about her poetry, we are joined now by Christine Swanberg. Christine, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Brian, for having me.
So what are the duties of a municipal poet laureate?
Well, the way I handled it was through collaboration and commemoration. Each poet laureate gives a proposal to what they want to do, and that was what mine was about. So commemoration involved giving commemorative poems about, for example, the Suffragette Plaza on Rock River, and we had a number of murals that were installed in Rockford, and some of the things that I did revolved around that. And I also did commemorative poems at a national level. I wrote about invasion after invasion, about the invasion of the Ukraine, and several others that were national. So the expectation is also that the poet laureate write something for the Rockford Area Arts Council award ceremony, etc. So that's the kind of thing I did for commemoration. As far as collaboration goes, try to dovetail with other artists. One of the most successful events was called Poetry Prelude, and that was held an hour before Art Scene opened up in Rockford. And what we did was to have several different voices of every sort. They would submit a piece of art. It didn't have to be local. It could be something formal, traditional, ancient even, and a poem about that. And then we held that at City Hall. So that was really fun. So that's kind of the things that I do. Trinidora, when we collaborate, we've done this five or six times now. And it's been, you know, fairly well received. So they set up maybe a dozen or so songs that they're going to sing. Some of them are original lyrics and some of them are from the American songbook, so to speak, and, you know, things that other artists have done. And then they give me that list and I play off of it. I look at different poems that I've written over a 50-year period and see what particular poem might dovetail with the lyrics or theme of what they're singing about. So it's really a lot of fun, but it's very, the brushstroke is very large. It's not, you know, an exact science, but we have a lot of fun with it.
Sure. So I want to make sure we leave enough time because we asked you to share a couple of poems with us today. And
yes.
Maybe we can begin with one called The Benevolence.
Oh, The Benevolence. All right. This is not necessarily a love poem. It is, however, a poem of praise for the earth. So in a way, I guess you could say it was a love poem, but not to a human being. And I will read that for you now. The Benevolence. Believe in the benevolence of bees and bergamot beckoning hummingbirds. Hail the tiny ones who sail thousands of treacherous miles to reach us each year. Rely on the wisdom of crows who congregate on catalpa trees, for their alarms are righteous. Shout amen to each alleluia tree and branches bearing fruit, turning leaves, building nests. Give thanks to the rain and the sun that dance in contrapuntal perfection their never-ending fugue. Bless each ladybug and firefly, for without them, summer would be less magic in the Midwest. Glory be to the swallowtail and monarch and every short but mysterious life. All gratitude to the gardeners great and small, the cultivators and creators here and above. And let us never forget the wind, great breath of life, Oh, what benevolence bestowed on us each day, given to us without expectation of pay.
Lovely thoughts for an early spring some of us are experiencing here in Illinois. What got you into poetry in the first place?
Well, you know, because of my age, I'm in my mid-70s, even though I might have wanted to be a writer, that door really wasn't open when I was in college. So I became an English teacher, of course. And after about 20 years of doing that, especially teaching creative writing, what I realized is that I had a burning desire to write. Just, I really wanted to fulfill that mission. So I started taking different classes and going to different conferences and having different mentors. And what I realized was that even though it was a surprise to me, the poetry was what I did best. And I think it's because poetry can take so many forms. It's a shapeshifter. Some of my poems, for example, do many things at once. They might be a love poem, a narrative, but also might have a little social commentary and a little bit of prayerfulness in it, depending on where the poem takes me, which I never know, by the way, when I set out to do a poem. So it was just a form that captivated me, and I like its intensity, and I like its ability to do so many things.
Were you always as comfortable as you are now sharing your poetry, getting up on stage, going on the radio, reading it aloud?
Well, I think because I was so much older than most people when I started doing this, and because I had spent 20 years standing in front of 150 kids a day, it wasn't that hard.
I was also a drama teacher,
so yeah. That part of it didn't bother me. And the other thing is that I kind of have thick skin in the sense that I don't think the world revolves around me. So if I get up and I read a poem and I don't do a great job on it, it's not as though a year from now anyone's going to remember that. So I just, I always just try to have thick skin about it.
What is it like going back and reading some of your early work?
That's an interesting question. No one's ever asked me that before. Sometimes I'm kind of amazed at what I didn't realize I knew, but I did. And I also kind of like the simplicity of the earlier poems before I, say, went more, what would that word be? I don't want to say virtuoso, but more complicated in what I was doing, depending on who I was working with. So it gives me, sometimes I forget what I've written, and when I read it, I think, oh, yeah, I was on a path, probably more than I realized.
Interesting. I wonder, because sometimes people go back and read their early work and they get a little embarrassed by it. I'm glad that I don't spend a lot of time listening to my early journalism or reading it. You saw something there. You see something.
Well, I was, old enough to even though I've been writing for about 40 years or more, I was in my mid-30s when I started taking it seriously. So by then, all the kind of teenage angst and, oh, woe is me stuff was not something I was writing about. So it wasn't as embarrassing as it might have been if I had started at a much younger age.
Excellent point. Well, in keeping and or maybe returning to the Valentine's Day theme that I began with, can you read us a love poem?
Yes. This poem is called At Three Arch Cape. I think I wrote it about, 25 or maybe more years ago. And it's one of those multi-layered poems that is both a narrative, a love poem, a social commentary, and prayer, just to sort of set you up for this, because the first poem I read wasn't. So it's called At Three Arch Cape, Oceanside, Oregon, 7 a.m. Low tide and empty beach, even the mist incandesces below the three arches, their peaks like primitive gods. A faint rainbow forms around them perfectly like a shrine. Last week's measured life, with its compromises like broken sand dollars, vanishes. On the great redwood limb, now bleached bone gray, our initials. Still, today I walk alone, head down my favorite inlet, past the familiar shanties and new condos rising, misguided fortresses that trespass shifting dunes. No matter what, I still return. And when I round the bend to Natart's Bay, the entire village, old and new, is fodder for the fog pierced only by pelicans. High hum of wind and gull shriek. Today, this beach with its shells and parables is my companion. And you, drinking coffee, reading newspapers, you're earthbound. I'm all tides and fog. Only give me these dreamy mornings to keep. Let me sit again on hard driftwood, my back against a dune. Sing a song that ends in sanctus, sanctus. It is enough to count myself among the lucky, plucking perfect agates and Holy Ghost money from sand, and you in your blue stocking cap and black leather jacket, waving.
I love the imagery there, and I don't want to take away too much of the magic by asking you to explain it, but I wonder if, or sort of the meaning of the poem, but can you talk about how you turn imagery into words, right? We have the broken sand dollars, the burnt driftwood.
Well, I guess, again, that sort of comes from years of teaching English, kind of knowing how to put an adjective and a noun together and then asking yourself, has this been done a million times before? And if it has, thinking of another adjective or noun to make it a little bit more original.
So the summer's day taken.
Excuse me?
The summer's day taken, that adjective.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah, so there's that. And also, I just have to say, I really don't know where a poem is going when I start to write it. And some of the similes or the metaphors just sort of arise naturally in the physical writing of the poem. And I don't really know where that comes from. I also write some things for our church, and I don't know where that comes from either. It's just you sit down, you show up to the page, and you let it happen. So I don't actually plan my poems. You know, it's not like writing a term paper where you actually use some sort of an outline. You just sort of let it flow, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. Something I'm, and we're coming to the end of our time together, but something I'm always curious about is how writers write, how they do their work. Are you a sit down in the chair every day and write, or write when it comes to you, or how do you approach that?
Well, when I first started taking myself seriously as a writer, I did try to write every day. And what that means is that I got up at about 4:30 in the morning, and before classes started when I was teaching, and wrote every single day I showed up. But then eventually, I have to say, this is an odd thing to say, but I sort of wrote about everything. I've written about 600 poems, and I kind of wrote about everything that was in my heart. So now it's more of a response to other things, and I don't write every day. I write in response to something else. When I was doing the Poet Laureate work, though, I actually had assignments, and that was a whole different way of having to do things. For example, it would be, we'd like you to write a poem for this particular mural, which would mean I would have to study the mural and try to tell a story about it, but try to tell it in poetic terms. So that was different because I had a job to do. It wasn't the same as getting up in the morning and thinking, what am I going to write about today? This is what I'm going to write about, which has its own set of challenges, by the way.
Indeed. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing some of your work and poetry with us today. Christine Swanberg was the first Poet Laureate of Rockford. Thank you for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you very much, Brian.
And that's it for us today. Coming up on Monday, artificial intelligence has been a growing force in many of our individual lives, but what does it mean for our collective democracy? What are the dangers? And are we doing a good enough job of addressing them? Leave us a voicemail with your thoughts about artificial intelligence, politics, campaigns, and democracy. The number is 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. You can find that number and every other way to contact us, including our email address, on our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.